The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
But while you're turning to 1 John chapter 4, we're in verses 1 through 6, yes, but today we're primarily going to focus in on verses 1 to 3. Georgia Wells, she wrote an article in the Street Journal called "The Big Loophole That Helped Russia Exploit Facebook: Doctored Photos." Now, in this report, they talk of it's a story about how fake news stories and photos, and how they can have a powerful impact on shaping our minds, on shaping our hearts. The story actually quoted Randy Romo, a female photographer whose photograph at an immigration rally had been manipulated by a Russia-backed account. The fake photo conveyed an anti-immigration message, while the original photo clearly conveyed a pro-immigration message. Now, Ms. Romo had a powerful warning for all of us. She said, "We are living in the greatest era of information access. People will watch cat videos endlessly, but they don't or won't take a minute to ascertain whether what they are being told is true or not." Whoa. Fake news, right? We hear about this all the time. Our president even talks about fake news all the time. This is the reality of the epidemic that we're referring to these days as fake news. It's so bad that sometimes we're not exactly sure we can tell the difference between the National Enquirer and the USA Today. Fake news is real. Fake news is happening. What's real? What's fake? What's real? What's fake? We don't know. And it can be very, very frustrating. I know it's frustrating when we watch the news. We just can't tell anymore. But it is a reality today. But did you know that for the Church of Christ, fake news is not a new epidemic? Fake news has always been around. The preaching and the hearing of fake news and the adverse effects it has on people is well documented in the annals of church history, and it is still real today. I mean, family, it's almost like every time I turn my head, there it is, a false gospel. Can't tell you how many times I hear this, even on Christian radio and Christian TV, how you hear a social gospel. You hear the prosperity gospel. You hear liberation theology gospel, and the gospel that I refer to as the no gospel gospel. False prophets and their fake news has always been around. False prophets exist in our day today insofar as there are many men and women who are claiming to speak for God, yet teach all kinds of aberrant and erroneous doctrine. And the effects of all of this continue to ravage the church into confusion and delusion. That's what I like to say about this. When this happens, you get confusion and delusion. But how can this be? This is the thing that always perplexes my mind. How can this be, and how can this be happening in the church when the scriptures constantly warn us about this? You can try this. Go home today. Don't do it now. When you go home, go Google false prophets. And just Google false prophets in scripture, in the scriptures. Man, we're talking over 100 scriptures will come up just with a simple scan of this topic. And you're going to see scriptures like Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves." Scriptures like Matthew 24:24, "For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones or God's elect." Scriptures like 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get a hold of your money. Scriptures like Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. Jeremiah 23, 16. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says to his people. Do not listen to these prophets when they prophesy to you, filling you with futile hopes. They are making up everything they say. They do not speak for the Lord. Jeremiah 23:13, among the prophets of Samaria, I saw this repulsive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. What is the reason for all of these warnings? They lead people astray. There it is. Big point there today. They lead people astray. Family, this is serious. This is a serious thing. The late Dr. R.C. Sproul, he said this once, the greatest threat to God's people is the false prophet. And under the new covenant, we must guard against those who twist the scriptures. We've got to guard against those who twist the scriptures. Believe me, family, scripture twisters are everywhere. And you know what the issue is when we see in the scriptures? You know what happens when people do this? They lead God's people astray. It's a serious thing. So people will say, well, hey, Shane, how do we guard against them? Today, we're going to find out. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Father, I pray that you continue to help us to have our minds and our hearts, our ears open to the moving of your spirit, Lord, to continue to lead us into all truth, that you will sanctify us with your truth. Your word is truth. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So family, today the first thing we're going to look at is the warning that's given to us by the Apostle John to be aware of false prophets and to test the spirits. The second point we're going to explore today is the true teaching about Christ is how we will know that they are from God and not filled with the spirit of the Antichrist. And finally, we're going to look at the real news, the news that matters most, the real gospel of Jesus. So our thesis statement today is, and if you don't know why I do this, it's me trying to sum up the entire sermon in one, basically one or two sentences. Though sin and the pattern of this world and the spirit of the Antichrist tries to get us to be led astray from God, from the God we love and serve with fake good news, it is the good news of Jesus found in the scriptures that will set us free from the bondage of hell, death, and the grave and find life and life more abundant in Christ and in Christ alone. Okay, so point number one. Here we have another, I want to stress that, another warning about false prophets or false teachers. So we look, as we look at this passage of scripture here, the present tense of the Greek imperative or the command that's translated, do not believe every spirit, shows something about John's readers at the time. They were prone to accept uncritically all teaching which claimed to be from God. Okay? That's kind of what we're seeing and what we get from this. It's kind of like, though, our culture today. Our culture is prone to this. The reason why I say that our culture is prone to this is the reason why fake news works. People would not be using fake news. People would not be exploiting fake news and giving fake news if it didn't work. The reality is it works today. And the thing is that this is also real in the church today, with thousands of people deceived by these multi-million dollar ministries exploiting lies upon lies. And so what John is giving us right now is he's giving a warning. Don't do this. When somebody comes and says, hey, I got a word from God, we don't just believe them simply because they say that they got a word from God or that they speak for God. Don't do this. Why? Why is John telling us you got to test the spirits? Don't believe everything that you're test the spirits. Why are we supposed to do this? John is telling us. He tells us clearly there are these things called or these people called false prophets in this world. That's the reason why we don't do this. That's the reason why we test everything. Because there's this thing called false prophets in this world. It's a warning to test the spirit. John urges them to investigate the source of everything that is given. Was it from God? What we need to do is we need to put them to the test. There are false prophets in this world. So I'm warning you, false prophets are out here. So you need to test everything. Put them to the test. The Greek, dokimazo. It's translated here, test. It was actually commonly used in the first century for the testing of metals to see that they were genuine. Okay? If you wanted to see if metals were genuine, they would use this word. This was the word that they said to describe this, was dokimazo, a test. See if the metals are genuine. See if their teaching is genuine. Gotta put them to the test. See if their teaching is genuine. Does it line up with the truth? Dr. John Stott says this, before we can trust any spirits, we must test them. Dr. David Allen from Southwestern Theological Seminary, he gives us some advice. Anytime we hear a sermon, read a book, hear a speaker, or go to a seminar, we must not just automatically believe everything that person tells us because we assume him to be an authority. What he is telling us may be wrong. That's some good advice. What he is telling us may be wrong. It may be wrong. And John is not giving us a straw man here. He's actually telling us there are false prophets in this world. There are people that are going to tell you things that are wrong. So the exhortation here is to test. As a pastor here at CBC, my exhortation for us today, family, is test. I want you to even test me, even though I've been here for 3.5 years. I'm hoping that I've passed the test by now. But test. The scriptures, Jesus himself exhorted us to test. Why? Verse 1 tells us why. There are many false prophets in the world. Let me say it this way. I'm trying to be as diplomatic as possible. There are many, and there have been many historically, who at best in ignorance, or at worst, intentionally spreading their false teaching to gain, and family, to gain a lot. So we got to understand that these days, and even now, especially now, these days, at this time, there is big money to be made in Christianity. Man, there's big money to be made. If you actually look at Christian book distributors and you look at the end of the year stuff as to how much money the Christian book distributors and all these things, how much money they actually make at the end of the year, family, it's an astronomical number. It's high. It's amazing how much money can be made in Christianity. And for many, the source of the doctrine stems from ungodly foundations. But here's the thing. It's not just the source of the doctrine that should concern us. Specifically, it's the danger. I have seen personally, and I'm sure many of you can attest to this, I have seen personally over the years as to how false teachings and false prophecies have destroyed the lives of people who profess to be Christians. You know, a lot of times it's like, you know, when I'm having conversations with people at the church and I'm hearing about some of these types of things, it's just hard. It's difficult because as a pastor, when these things happen, it hits home. It hits right here. They went off to some seminar. They went off to some conference, came back with all these aberrant doctrines and crazy theologies, and they're living their life based on this, and boom, their life blows up and they come to me, "Pastor Shane, help me pick up the pieces." And I've got to be there to help them pick up the pieces. These things destroy lives. These things ruin lives. You know what I've also seen? I've seen these things destroy marriages. I've seen these things destroy families where kids are even going against their own parents. False doctrines, false prophecies. They deny good doctrine and the importance of actually having doctrine. False doctrine and false prophecies distort the truth. False doctrine and false prophecies deceive and deceives. And oh boy, does it deceive. It leaves the place in confusion and delusion. That's the reason why John is telling us here, we have got to put it to the test. That's the warning. We've got to test. Test. Realize that there are false teachers out there. There's false prophets out there. We have got to put them to the test. And one of the things that I actually use for testing is false prophets, they don't like to be tested. You know, I love it when you all test me. Be like, "Hey, Pastor Shane, that message that you had this morning, man, I need you to show me in the Bible." You know, I love that. I'll be like, "Yes, let's get together. Let's have coffee. Let's talk about this." I love to be tested. Here's the issue. One of the signs of a false prophet, false teacher, they don't want to be tested. They say things like this: "Don't question me. Don't question authority. God told me, touch not God's anointed." No, family, we are to test. The scriptures tell us to do what? To test. So when they say things like, "No, don't test me, don't question me, don't do this," I'm sorry, but scripture tells me that I need to put you to the test. Paul called the Bereans more noble because they tested him. Could you imagine? You know, could you imagine that? The apostle Paul and the Bereans are like, I don't know, man. You got to show me in the scriptures how this is true. The apostle Paul. They're putting him to the test. Test, test. False teaching destroys lives. It leaves the place in confusion and delusion. The scriptures even said it. It leads people astray. Family, we got to test. We've got to see. We've got to look. We've got to compare it to the scriptures. We've got to test false teachers. Because let me clue you in on something. False teachers are not going to walk into the church with a t-shirt that says false prophet on it. Right? No, walking out there and saying, hey, I'm a false prophet. Listen to what I have to say today. Man, I got some new lies for you. New stuff that I want to try out on you. They're not going to be telling everybody that they're preaching lies. They're not going to be putting a special price, the heresy price on their books and their DVDs and say, hey, we got special heresy price on my new book that came out last week. It's going to be sneaky, family. It's going to be sneaky. So sneaky that they would deceive even the elect if it were possible. That's how sneaky they are. And it leaves the place in confusion and in delusion all the way to hell. Did you get that? All the way to hell. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 13 to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 13 to 15. These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I'm not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. And in the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserved. Even his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. And did I mention that these things destroy lives? Destroy lives. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 25. Ezekiel 22, 25. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured human lives. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Destroy lives. That's what the steamroller of these things, these false prophets, false teachings, steamroller that just destroys lives. Just again, did I mention that these things destroy lives? Confusion and delusion, family, all the way to hell even. All the way to hell even. Destroys lives. If you do not believe the truth about Jesus, you will go to hell. That's how important this is. This is how important this is. This is why John is telling us this. This is why we're getting the warning. So some of you may be saying, okay, Shane, you know what? That was good. I'm there. I'm convinced. I got the warning. I heard it. I'll test. Can you tell me how? So John helps us with this. The principles for testing the spirit. Let's talk about that really quick. So point number two, the truth about Jesus, the principle for testing the spirits. John here in verses 2 and 3, he gives us some direction as to how we carry out the testing. But before we get there, I want us to see in the whole of Scripture, we essentially have two specific tests for a false teacher or for a false prophet. Okay? I like to refer to this as the first as being potentiality, and the second is theology. Potentiality and theology. Potentiality is a clear one. What do you mean by potentiality being clear, Shane? It means nothing happens. Simple. The predictions, the words of knowledge, the signs and wonders, the healings, the miracles, etc. All of those things, all that's promised is not delivered. It doesn't happen. This is how we know that an individual does not speak for God. It doesn't happen. It does not come to pass. It does not come true. But Shane, people are not perfect. They might be wrong sometimes. They might be having a bad day. Nope. There are false prophets and teachers in this world. They do not speak for God, and they can't be wrong. Oh man, Shane, that's bold, man. Where do you get that? From the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 21 to 22. Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 to 22. But you may wonder, how will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? If the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. That prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be feared. In Old Testament times, with the theocracy as to how it was done when it came to penal punishments, when it came to that, do you know what happened to the false prophet? That's how serious this is. I mean, we don't have the theocracy here, you know, today in our country today, so we can't put false prophets to death. But back then, yeah, you were put to death. You know, family, we got to understand, as a young man, some of you guys may not know this, there was a time where I left the Southern Baptist Church to go explore different religions and things. And so, not different religions, but different denominations, even though the Southern Baptist is not technically a denomination. But okay, I was deep in what would be called today like the Word Faith Charismatic Pentecostal movement, okay? And I was steeped into that for like many, many years, right out of high school, you know, first couple of years in college, you know. So I was in this movement. And so here's the thing. I'm not just hearing this or reading this, you know, from other people. I was there. If you guys don't know this, I'm going to expose another person in this church, my buddy Steve. Was involved in this stuff too. If I go down, I'm going to take you all down with me. Steve was involved in this. I was there. We saw it all. There's nothing any of these guys are telling us or going to tell me that I didn't see. But here's the thing. People will say, what did you see? Nothing. Come on, Shane. Seriously. No, see, family, smoke, screens, and trickery playing on our suggestibility. Let me just say this. As a young preacher in this movement, you know, young preachers, man, you know, the prophets and the false prophets and the false teacher, all this stuff, they gravitate to you. And I can't tell you how many times these big name guys, I could even tell you and you would know who these guys are, laid hands upon me and prophesied. Thus saith the Lord. God has a word for you, Shane. And this happened time after time after time, and none of it came true. None of them came true. I even, for just getting ready for today, I called some of my friends, my other friends who kind of grew up in the whole deal, and I asked them, hey, the prophecies, I remember this one prophecy you had, did that ever come true? Nope. Did this come true? Nope. Did this come true? Nope. I even talked to Steve. Steve was another one, man. People laid hands on that dude and was just like, Steve, man, we're talking about a ministry that's going to extend even past the earth, man. You're going to have a ministry on Mars, man. It's going to be a huge ministry. I'm not being serious, but big, huge, worldwide ministry. Steve, any of those come true? No. None of the words of knowledge came true. We know of people that go to church services where the pastor prophesies every single Sunday. Again, God only knows how many of those things didn't come true. None of the prophecies over me came true. None with most of my friends or the people that I've asked. Many of these people, did you know, have been exposed on TV and social media as false prophets and teachers. I need to tell you, there's this one huge ministry in California. They specialize in the supernatural. They actually came out publicly saying that only 10% of their prophecies are correct, and they're working hard to get better. Family, I know that sounds bizarre, but this is true. I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this, man, where they're just like, they're putting in the research. They got spreadsheets, man. They got the data. They're analyzing the data. They're analyzing all of this and all this stuff to come out and just say, you know, only 10% of it is correct. And we're working hard to get things better. We're working hard to make things better. Let me help you guys make things better. Stop! There you go. Stop. Because even if you do get it up to 20%, the Bible still says it's supposed to be 100%. Do you see that? The Bible says if it doesn't come to pass, it's a false prophecy. You know, they also had this thing where it was even on TV that they had regular healing services. You know, God told them to have these healing services and where they claim to heal those who are sick and have disease. And so if you're sick and you have disease, why don't you come to our service and we will pray for you so that you can be healed of your sickness and disease. Did you guys know that by their own choice, they canceled their healing services because of the coronavirus? They've built multi-million dollar organizations peddling this stuff. The dangers and the leading astray of people. This nonsense is all over. But the best sign that they are false prophets and teachers, these things don't happen. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't. Let's just be honest here. It doesn't happen. They do not deliver on what is promised. They don't deliver on what's promised. Oh, but Shane, come on, man. But it did happen for me. I had some of these. It did happen for me. I saw it, man. I was sitting in the service right there and I saw somebody's leg grow. You saw somebody's leg grow. Have you seen that? It was like really popular, I think, like maybe in the 80s where they would come up and just say, hey, dude, one leg is longer than the other. You know, and the dude was like, oh man, I didn't know one leg was longer than the other. Well, living my whole life, didn't know one leg was longer than the other. And then all of a sudden, it grew. Family, they say, hey man, I saw this, dude, I saw this. You know what? There was a prophet that prophesied over me, and it came true. He said I would get married, and you know what? I did. You know what? This guy said something bad were to happen to me. And you know what? He was right, because 2 years later I lost my job. The Lord is telling me today that someone out there is having a hard time and needs encouragement. Man, he was right. Because that was me. The Lord is telling me that someone out there needs a little more money. That's me. Come on, family. Family, we're not that G-U-L-L-I-B-L-E, right? Think about it. Lots of the fulfillments are easily debunked and explained away. We see this on 60 Minutes. We saw it on the news when all of these things came out. But let's just say that it was an undeniable fulfillment of prophecy. Let's just say that it was a genuine miracle. Did you know that it still doesn't mean they passed the test? Did you know that? It still doesn't mean that the guy passed the test. Because we got to use the next test. It's the theological one. The one that John focuses on. Why? Because Deuteronomy chapter 13 verses 1 to 3. Deuteronomy chapter 13 verses 1 to 3. Suppose there are prophets among you, or those who dream dreams about the future, and they promise you signs or miracles, and the predicted signs or miracles occur. Whoa. This is just what I'm talking about. If they then say, come, let's worship other gods, gods you have not known before, don't listen to them. The Lord your God is testing you to see if you truly love him with all your heart and soul. Whoa, wait a minute now. So what is he saying here? What if these miracles and these prophecies actually come true? But the guy is preaching false doctrine. Don't listen to him. False teacher, false prophet. The Lord is testing us to see if we will be faithful. If they preach false doctrine that leads people away from the true God that's revealed in the Bible, then they are false prophets and teachers, even if they perform miracles, man. Even if it happens. Because people will say all the time, like, hey, Shane, man, there's these guys that are all over the world, man. These miracles and these things, it's just unexplainable. All of these things are happening. But they're telling you to worship Buddha or telling you to worship the earth god. All of these types of things. Man, this is God testing us to see if we will remain faithful to the God that revealed himself in the scriptures. So let me say, family, to worship a God that was not revealed in the scriptures is not God. This is why teachings about Christ is so important. If you're teaching about Christ, and this Christ is not the Christ of the scriptures, and you tell people to worship him, it's rebellion, it's idolatry, and such an error that you would go to hell for it. Did you know that? Getting back to John's context, it's clear that the Bible teaches that Jesus was both God and man. He was divine and had a real body. According to the scriptures, he was really God and really a man. And to deny any of this is heresy and a failure of the test. You teach anything contrary to this, you failed the test. This is what John is saying. You failed the test. One branch of Gnosticism in the late first century, second century, they sought to deny the reality of the body. Basically, in fact, all physical matter. All matter was bad. And so what they said was, from the divine Logos up in the air, there was a series of emanations that eventually brought Christ to the earth, but not in a real body. He was not material. Isn't that funny? That's the funniest thing. The first century Christianity, the first attack against Christ was not his divinity. It was his humanity. Isn't that funny? Interesting, because today it's all like, oh, Christ was just a man. He wasn't God. Back then, it was Christ was God. He wasn't a man. He wasn't a real man. That's just bad. A series of emanations brought Christ to the earth, so he only appeared to be a real man. Did you know that the modern day era of this teaching is Christian Science? Christian Science cult teaches this stuff. The pastor, here's the other thing too, you want to see something that actually hits home? The pastor of the supernatural ministry in California, he actually said that while Jesus was on earth, he was not God. Family, this is heresy. If Jesus was not God on earth, there is no salvation. It was only God made flesh who could take on the sins of the whole world. This is horrible. This leads people astray. It causes problems. This is detrimental to salvation. If Christ was not a man, then he was not a representative of mankind. Did you know that if Christ wasn't a man, then he was not a suitable sacrifice? Here's the other thing. If Christ wasn't a man and he was just God, then Christ didn't die. Do you know why? Because gods don't die. If Christ wasn't a man, he could not be a mediator between man and God. Therefore, we have no mediation. If there's no mediation, if there's none of this stuff, then there's no salvation. This stuff leads people astray. It leads people away from a life with Christ and an eternal life in hell. Man, Shane, you keep bringing that up. 2 John verses 8 and 9. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching, and it's the true teaching about Christ is what he's talking about. If anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. Did you get that? See that? Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. Oh, but Shane, man, okay, they may not have sound doctrine about Christ. You know, they may not have it all worked out with Christ as God and Christ as man. But you know what? They love God. They have a relationship with God. I get this all the time. You know what the scriptures say? No, you don't. If you wandered away from this teaching, you have no relationship with God. If you wander from this teaching, it's not wandering from God, it's wandering from this teaching. If you wander from the teaching, you have no relationship with God. Depart from me, I never knew you. That's the destiny. That's what false prophets and false teachers do. They cause you to wander from this teaching. You see why? People are just like, Shane, man, why do you get so amped up about all this stuff? It's just little errors. These are not just little errors. these are things that are going to lead people away from Christ. And if they wander from the teaching, guess what? They have no relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God and you die and you're standing before Christ, guess what he's going to say? Depart from me. I never knew you. John makes this even more clear. He says, when it comes to the false prophets and the false teachers, if they're legit, they have to acknowledge the truth about Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. Let's go to verse 3. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. 2 John, verse 10, if anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. No encouragement, no support, no hospitality if they don't teach the truth about Christ. Family, in our culture, in the body of Christ today, in modern evangelicalism, are we doing this? All you have to do is take a stroll down one of the Christian bookstores that's still open. A lot of these things are closing down. But if you walk through some of these things, you can see that we are giving encouragement, hospitality, and support to those who do not teach the truth about Christ. Family, why are we not supposed to encourage these people? Why? Because that person has the spirit of the Antichrist that's already here. If they don't teach the truth about Christ, then they are not from God. Let's hear it again. They said, Paul or John is saying, they are not from God. Do we realize that it's not just these people are just not from God? Not only are they not from God, but they have the spirit of the Antichrist. And we're going to welcome them. We're going to support them. We're going to get behind them. We're going to invite them into our home. Man, you know, Shane, I don't know, man. It feels like you're overreacting a little bit. I know, I get this a lot. I get it a lot. But man, I wish I could videotape all the counseling sessions that I've had with people whose lives were destroyed because of this type of stuff. Man, this is a very, very serious thing. This is what John is saying. You know, it's just like, oh, well, you know, Shane, you know, I just think that, you know, today we need to be a little bit more hospitable. Today we need to do that, you know, that we are inviting people into our homes, that we're supporting and encouraging people that the Apostle John would condemn. oh man, we're supposed to be hospitable, man. We're supposed to, you know, be kind to this stuff. Even if they're wrong, you know, it's just a mistake. That's all they're doing is making a mistake. You know, we can try to, you know, encourage and help. Do you know that the Apostle John one time went into one of those caves, those bathing caves, you know, you see them in the movies. I haven't actually seen them in real life, but you can take a bath in these pools that are in these caves, you know. And while the Apostle John one day went into the cave, he saw a guy named Cerinthus, who was a known heretic back in that day. He taught all kinds of horrible, horrible doctrines. That the Apostle John didn't go over there and give him his card to invite him to his house to have lunch or to have a meeting at Starbucks to discuss our differences. Do you know what the Apostle John did? According to Polycarp, the Apostle John ran out of the baths, screaming, "Everyone, get out! Cerinthus, the enemy of the truth, is in here." They didn't do the stuff that we do today. They weren't doing that stuff back then. Man, the Apostle Paul were calling them dogs. Those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. They referred to the synagogues back. John referred to them as the synagogues of Satan. This is what they did. Because this is a serious, serious thing. So here's the thing. Even if their miracles happened, even if their prophecies come true, even if they look and say all the things that we want to hear, if they do not teach the truth about Christ, they have the spirit of the Antichrist. Let me say that again. The Antichrist. Do not invite them into your home. Do not encourage them. Do not welcome them. How serious for those who do this? If you do, do you know how serious it is? 2 John verse 11. Anyone who encourages such people becomes a koinonia. It's the word used. Becomes a partner in their evil work. Man. Serious. Serious. Point number three. Many of us today, I'm sure if I took a poll right now, many of us today would say, hey, you know what? I don't want to be a partner with the Antichrist. I'm just guessing. You know, there may be some of y'all, you know, maybe you do. I don't know. But I would say that most of us, we do not want to be partners with the Antichrist. What we want today is we want to be partners with the risen Christ. The real Christ. The Christ that was revealed to us in the scriptures. Not what was revealed in visions or dreams or what you saw in the movies, but the Christ that was revealed to us in the holy word of God, the scriptures. If this is the case, then family, we don't want to listen to fake good news. We don't want to be around the fake good news. We must listen to the good news of the gospel that's coming straight from the scriptures. Again, the scriptures is where we get the real news. The real news as to what's really happening. The real news as to what's going on. The truth is, here's the news. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. There's teaching out there today that's saying that, no, we're not sinners. Oh, come on, seriously, Shane, I'm not a sinner. I may make some mistakes. I'm not perfect. You know, but I'm not a sinner. You know, those murderers and stuff, they sinners. But I'm not a sinner. I don't do anything wrong. That's the fake news that we're getting today. Do you know that the wages of sin is death? That's the payment for the sins that we commit. Oh, but Shane, I don't think God would do that. No. God is a God of love. Tell me that you've heard this. God is a God of love, man. He's not sending anybody to hell. There's no hell. You know, God is love. Everybody is going to make it into heaven. Here's a hint. God Everyone's going to get there because God is love and love wins. Fake news, family. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. There is no one righteous. No, not one. And if you hear fake news out there all the time. Oh man, dude, we're totally we're righteous in our own works. And you know what? Even if you're not, you can do good works. Do some good works out there. You know, go help, when you go and you have dinner, you know, get like a side plate, you know, and bring it out and give it to a homeless person. You know, help a lady across the street. You know, just do something nice. Say a kind word to somebody. And you know what? You will be righteous. And God will see that. What does the Bible say? What does the real news say? There is no one righteous. No, not one. But come on, insane. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't steal anything. Maybe I stole a little paperclip once at the job that I was at where I forgot to put it back, you know? Or maybe when I was, you know, filling out some paperwork at the insurance company, I might accidentally stuck the pen in my jacket. Come on, man. Just a small little sin. You know, fake news will say, yeah, God knows your heart. Fake news will say, God knows your heart. You're good. You're okay. Oh, it's all good. What does the real news say? What does the Word of God say? That if we break the smallest of the commands, we are as guilty as someone who's broken all of it. That's what real news says. Oh, come on, man. You know, there's transgressions. You know, there are people, you know, we don't have no transgressions. You know, there's no guilt. You know, I've been going through my 12-step process and they're helping me relieve the guilt that I feel. There's no guilt. We're not supposed to have guilt. Ecclesiastes says something very pointed. Not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. That's the real news. But I got real good news for us. I gave you a lot of real bad news, but they real. Not fake bad news, real bad news, but here's some real good news for you. And I always quote this, but you know what? I'm going to read it straight out of the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. Right from the scriptures. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you stand firm on it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised on the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. That is the gospel of Jesus. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. And not only that, he rose from the grave on the third day. All of this according to the scriptures. Man, this is awesome. He died for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. The wages of sin is death. He died on the cross for our sins. And not only that, but he was raised for our justification. And now not only are we justified, but he sends the Holy Spirit so that we can also be sanctified as he continues to work in us so that we can become more and more like Christ. We're not here just to be saved and be a bunch of losers here on earth. We're here to be saved so that we can be transformed into his people so we can bring glory and to glorify the risen Christ. Of course, the Church of Jesus Christ is going to survive COVID-19. Even if they shut us down, we're going to survive COVID-19. Why? Because we are the ones who can. He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. We are more than conquerors because of Christ. Salvation is here. Let's not let fake news confuse us, telling us that Jesus wasn't God, couldn't be God, all this kind of just just crazy stuff. Salvation through Christ and Christ alone is here. The blessing is here. The wonderful, amazing moment that we've been waiting for, that people have been waiting for, that angels have been looking with outstretched necks is here. Christ came, Christ died, and He rose. And right now, He is sitting at the right hand throne of the Father. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. So I'm going to tell you right now, family, there is not one thing, not one hair on our head will fall without our Lord knowing. And that's why I get it, man. You know, people are worried about what the government's going to do to us. What people are going to do to us. What our neighbor is going to do to us. What different cultures and different special interest groups, what they're going to do to us. Family, remember today. We look at the world. I look at all these people that are wanting to do things. If they're wanting to do things. All these things that are coming against us. Believe this, family. I look at them and I say, you will have no power over me unless it has been given to you from above. Just know that. World, government, everyone, just know that. You'll have no power over the Church of Christ unless God gives it to you. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the good news of Jesus. There is life and life more abundant. This is not fake news, family. This is the best news that anyone could ever hear.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.